CEO Hayes, glad to have you back joining me at the Temple. As much as I appreciate Redneck's company, you know, sometimes he just gets us into a little too much trouble. I'm happy to have somebody who can fucking control themselves with me again.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's why you love Redneck, because he is a loose cannon. You never know what you're going to get out the wrestling Redneck. But I'm glad to be back, too. It's been so long. So long, it feels like. I've been gone. I think I missed the last three events with you guys. It's been crazy, man. I've missed going to the Temple.
Well, yeah, and then you missed a good night. You picked a good night, rather, to come back, because we got a lot of shenanigans. You've missed a bit while you were away. Redneck and I have been doing our best to try to keep you up on some things, but because we got to the Temple just a little bit early today, we kind of got to sneak around a little bit, and we actually found one of the back entrances to make our way in for the evening. And sure enough, as we're walking back there, Cage is just pumping some iron. This boy's throwing around some serious weight, and all of a sudden he's interrupted by Katrina, who just obviously just sort of appears from out of nowhere, and she's talking to him about this gauntlet. She says it's not his, really, or it doesn't belong to him. She even goes as far as to warn him about the powers, and that ultimately it, you know, not only will it not only is the gauntlet not his, but if he continues to wear it, he will no longer be his. So basically, she's trying to talk him into just giving it to her, saying that would be the easy way. He says he's a man that never liked to do things the easy way. That's because he's not a man, he's a machine. But she promises him that he will hate the hard way in this particular instance. And he goes to hit her with the gauntlet, which is attempted murder from what we understand of the gauntlet's powers. And she just, again, vanishes into thin air. CEO Hayes, what did you make of this madness?
I mean, I first of all, Cage just attempting to murder such a wonderful, sexy, gorgeous young lady. I don't get that at all. But, you know, Katrina is not one to back down to anybody, especially when she has Mertez and Mill to always back her up. You know, she's really honestly trying to do Cage a favor. I mean, she's also self-serving herself and what her mother wants her to do, which you and Redneck filled me in on. That just blew my damn mind. Yeah. But I mean, she's tried to warn him. Now Cage, for whatever is going on, I think that gauntlet is really clouding his judgment right now. But you know, this is the Temple, so anything's possible. I just did not expect to see Cage try to kill Katrina.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of weird looking at it from this aspect, because Katrina and Mill have always been, you know, fairly devious and evil people, you know? I mean, even when they had control of the Temple for a period of time, it was a dark, dark place, and it was scary. And now, in a weird way, they're almost fighting on the side of good, because if we're to understand from that conversation between Katrina and her mother what this gauntlet is ultimately going to bring upon the world, Katrina, you know, is, again, as devious and evil and dark as she may be, she's actually kind of trying to save everybody here.
Yeah, she's trying her best. I mean, but, you know, we'll see. And I, for one, these gods come down and take over Cage, and God knows what else they plan on doing, I can't wait to see how Dario reacts to this. Because, you know, Dario's not wanting to back down at all. This could be the end of the world as we know. Bella, we could be seeing the end of days, literally.
I mean, there's so many things out there that people would believe that we're nearing those days anyway. There's the threat of nuclear strikes going on around the world. You never know. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's all a big cover. Maybe they're going to push this off, like, when the world ends, or at least a large chunk of Southern California is eaten up as a result of whatever happens here with these gods coming about. Maybe they're just going to cover it up and make it look like it was a nuclear strike.
Weirder things have happened.
It's true.
It wouldn't even surprise me. So there you go.
Honestly, what I'm watching here on a weekly basis, it's not that far-fetched realistically, but let's try to look at this a little bit more brightly.
The right junk in all the right places.
It looked like that he was fucking the guy in the ear.
We had some good lucha-ing, if you will, in the Temple.
Well, wait, before you get to, I have to tell you about something. So, you know, we sat down for our seats, and I got up and I left for him, and I actually was going to Dario's office. I wanted to tell him I was back. I wanted to apologize for some of the things that Redneck has done in my absence. And I go to walk into his office, and I see Joey Ryan walk in. So I kind of creep around. I stand by the door. I overhear him. And Joey Ryan suggests to Dario that Veneno could be Cortez Castro. And wow. Dario, yeah, he sounds like he's just completely shocked by this. And then he said he's going to make a match of Sexy Star versus Veneno next week in a mask versus mask match. You know, you have to give it up to Dario. He gets to the bottom of this of stuff like this. He leaves no stone unturned. And then he kicked Joey Ryan out of his office. And at that point, I kind of just scurried off because I didn't want to make obvious that I just overheard everything. I didn't want him to think I was in league with Cortez Castro. So I kind of just got the fuck out of there.
That was probably wise. Yeah, and like you said, Dario, getting down to it. He's going to put Veneno, who doesn't have the best in-ring record, up against Sexy Star, who's a former champion. You know, that's going to probably lead to him being unmasked, and maybe we'll find out it is Cortez Castro. I know there's definitely something sketchy going on with him, as Redneck and I have been seeing him around the police station the last couple times that we've had to go there. And, hey, I mean, we'll finally get to put an end to one of two mysteries, one being whether or not Veneno is Cortez Castro, and two being a mystery that we've had since our journeys to the temple together anyway, is Sexy Star, mask or no mask?
Yeah, I still say mask. Like, leave the mask on. It's just something about it. It would ruin the package. I don't know how attractive she is under that mask, but I need it to stay on. I have thoughts in my head that have been going through our last couple of trips here that I need to keep that mask on.
All right, well, I mean, if she loses the mask in this mask versus mask match, does that mean she can never wear the mask, or only while she's luchadoring, when she's fighting?
I mean, these luchas, this mask is a way of life. So I would like to think that they wear these masks. The only times they take them off are when they're either sleeping or in the shower. So I would like to think that they wear the mask more times than not. So for her to lose the mask, it's going to be a huge deal.
I wonder if there's bylaws about wearing the mask in the bedroom post losing it. Listen, Lucha Council, stay out of my bedroom. Anyway, moving on. Like I said, we did get some good. We got a couple good matches tonight, and an ending to this night that was just can only be described by pure chaos. We'll get to that though. The first match was a semifinals match for the Cueto Cup tournament. Prince Puma taking on Phoenix. I can't even get into some of the specifics as far as just the athleticism and the maneuvers that we saw during the course of this match, but one in particular that stood out to me is Puma went to attempt his Northern Lights suplex Falcon Arrow combination that he often hits, and Phoenix counters with a Hurricanrana that just came from out of nowhere. I have no idea how he physically managed to flip his body up and pull off what he did in this situation, but that was a crazy, crazy moment in this match. What did you think of that in particular?
Yeah, like you said, that was a crazy moment amongst other crazy moments. Like, these guys are just two of the quickest people that has to be in all of the temple. Like, watching them do a match is it's an art to it. And they're definitely... What can I say? They're masters at their craft, and the things that they're able to do physically. Like, I'm 30 years old. Bella, you're 30 years old. We're literally separated by like 30 days. My back, if there's no way in hell I would be able to do the type of stuff they did. I just watching them, it makes my body hurt. So no telling how they feel after a match like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is just sort of funny that the contrast between the two competitors in this match and the two competitors in the latter match of the evening. I mean, it's day and night. Having these guys being the lighter, faster, more athletic duo, and then, you know, Mil Muertes and Pentagon, two of the heavier hitters. So we were set for a pretty awesome matchup in this Cueto Cup no matter what happened. But you did mention this is sort of like an art. There was a child or younger believer in the crowd holding a sign that said, "Wrestling is an art." I was sort of thinking that's sort of weird to have here. I don't know. We don't see a lot of signs in the temple generally, unless Jack Evans is wielding them. But in this instance, I thought that was kind of strange. I know wrestling as an art is something that there are other, I guess, professional wrestlers in above ground lucha fighting organizations all around the world. One in particular, his name is Ricochet, and this is sort of a slogan that I've seen on t-shirts of his. Do you think there's any sort of connection here?
Well, now that you mention it, you know, Ricochet does a Northern Light suplex combo that's kind of like what Prince Puma does.
Yeah, and you know, those tattoos are fairly familiar. Like, I'm not going to go as far as to say they're identical, but it's very similar, at least.
Yeah,
you don't think.
No, it can't be. It can't be.
Yeah, I can't imagine, right? I mean, this is in the days of the internet. Like, how would we not know stuff like this? He's Prince Puma. He's from Boyle Heights. Like, I don't know where Ricochet's from, but yeah.
Yeah, Ricochet's like from Tennessee. He wouldn't fit in here. There's no way in hell Prince Puma and Ricochet are the same person. Let's get back into this match. There's no way. I'm not even going to spend any more time thinking about it. Marty the Moth did come out today, and I don't know if you know. Speaking of signs, did you see the guy with the Marty the Moth sign in the crowd?
No, I didn't.
He was like three seats over from us. He had like a portrait of Marty the Moth that he kind of just hugged and patted once Marty the Moth came out there.
That's disturbing. I can't live in a society where we can allow people to start following Marty the Moth. Okay, we need to stand out against this type of just outrageous ideology.
Absolutely.
So Marty, like you said, came out and snuck up on Melissa Santos, which I think we knew it was only a matter of time. Him and Phoenix, clearly they're not through with this love triangle and or square and or pentagon, depending on how you want to look at it. But so he comes out, he distracts Phoenix, and Phoenix pays for it. I mean, Prince Puma, top level competitor, one of the great luchadors we've ever seen here in the temple. If you're going to turn your back on Puma, you're probably going to end up getting pinned for the 1-2-3, and that's precisely what ends up happening here. Puma driver that ends in a near fall and then a 630 senton for the win. Prince Puma advancing to the finals of the Cueto Cup, and Melissa Santos is basically running away from Marty the Moth while she's making this announcement, and Phoenix comes to and obviously gets a hold of Melissa and protects her from Marty as he scurries off into the night. But yeah, interesting ending to this match. Probably, you know, I'm a little upset personally. I mean, these are two great luchadors. I would have liked to see, just what would happen if it was just the two of them, no outside interference, nothing along those lines. But that's not what we got, and we end up with Puma advancing, which I guess, hey, could be worse.
I mean, yeah, Puma former, I guess they're both former champions. Like you said, us being robbed of what this match could have been. It was already a great match as what it was even before Marty came out there. But if you give these guys the license to go, I would love to see, speaking of, these two go in an all night long match.
That would be, yeah, they're going to have to, I don't know, they might have to do like an all week long with these two, because God knows they get the stamina. Like an all night long might barely phase either one of them.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I mean, all week long.
They could do it.
I just have to take the week off work. We'll drive down to the temple, bring sandwiches. We'll be all right.
Yeah, we should bring some extras. We can make a business out of this. But always looking for that extra dollar. Anyway, moving on from there. I mean, the match, like I said, we end up with Puma in the finals. That's awesome. We're going to find out here in a little bit who he's going to be facing. But before we get to that, there was a little bit of a scuffle in the back, and I think you happen to bear witness to it, so why don't you go ahead and explain what happened here.
Yeah, so after this match, I was just so hyped up after it, I needed to go in the back and relieve myself, where I'm walking to the bathroom, and I just see these pair of legs walk by, and you know me, I'm a creep, it is what it is. I noticed that it was Katrina, so I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to take my chance. This is the temple, I'm going to do what I have to do, even if it meant bringing out the roofies. I follow her literally right before I'm about to roofie her. I see her walk in this room with Mill, and I'm just like, fuck it. Well, I lost my chance. She's talking to Mill, telling Mill while he's working out he needs to save some for Pentagon. And as they're talking, Brian Cage just comes out and beats the shit out of Mill with a weight. And I was in awe. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And he kind of just walks off afterwards. But the thing that really rung in my head is that, you know, Cage could have completely killed Mill if he wanted to. He had the gauntlet. He did not. He chose not to hit him with the gauntlet, which I don't understand, because you don't want to give Mill a chance to get up. He tried to hit Katrina with the gauntlet earlier. You think he would have hit Mill with the gauntlet just to take his ass out? And immediately after he leaves, Katrina uses that magic rock to bring Mill right back up. And so I just feel like that was short-sighted on Brian Cage's side.
Well, if she had to use the rock to revive him, do we know that he didn't die and that this isn't just one of his many deaths?
Good point. Good point. So maybe he did die.
Yeah. Maybe Cage knew. Or maybe, you know, there is this sort of inner turmoil that if this gauntlet is as powerful as it may be, or as we're hearing it is, or works the way that we understand it does, rather, you know, it there's probably some sort of inner turmoil going on within Cage. You know, there's the gauntlet trying to take over, and then there's probably that part of Cage that still wants to exist. Maybe that part of Cage realizes that Mill is the only one that could stop all of this and kept him alive.
You know what? See, this is why I love talking to you about these type of things, because you usually see it from an angle I don't. I was just so in awe of what I saw, and the fact I was a little disappointed I missed my chance to roofie Katrina. But, you know, that's what you're here for.
Yeah, you know what? And that would have been outside of the temple. I'm very anti-roofie, but with Katrina in the mix, I guess, yeah, I guess I can't say I blame you.
I mean, hey, it's as we know, law does not abide in the temple. Dario, it's his law. And you know what? He probably would have respected my choice. I probably would have got promoted and moved up the ranks. Probably would have been his right-hand man. He would have liked the fact that I took initiative.
It's like the purge in the temple. It's just, it's complete, yeah, it's complete anarchy.
But, exactly.
and God knows, yeah, you're right. Dario may have given you a promotion. He's a bit sick and twisted. Actually, I've got some more details on that a little later on, but we have the other semifinals match for the Cueto Cup. As I mentioned before, Mil Muertes and Pentagon Dark, two of the heavy hitters in the temple. These guys have never competed one-on-one at any point in all of the time in the temple. And this has been the first collision between these two, and it did not disappoint. Now, as you mentioned, Mil did get the ever-living crap stomped out of him by Cage in the back. So his ribs were hurting. He's walking to the ring. Immediately you could tell he's not himself, so we were sort of deprived yet again of a truly equally competitive match between two of the best in the temple. But nonetheless, Mil Muertes, Pentagon Dark, they locked horns. It was brutal for a while there. Katrina ends up getting involved early on, and it foreshadows basically how this all ends up ending, which is Pentagon going up to the top to go finish off Mil Muertes. Katrina grabs his foot, and he just kicks her without hesitation, like halfway across the temple, and he ends up hitting a double stomp onto Mill, and that's all she wrote. Pentagon Dark is advancing to the finals of the Cueto Cup tournament. He's going to be taking on Prince Puma. And what did you think of this match, of these behemoths locking horns for the first time one-on-one?
I mean, it was shorter than what I wanted it to be, but no less amazing. And then when you consider the fact of what you just pointed out, that Mill just came back from the dead. Like, he literally just died and came back before this match, and he was still able to hold his own with Pentagon. I like the fact that Pentagon did end up picking up the win, because I want to see him and Prince Puma. So that I went on that side. But Mill is going to be out for blood from both Pentagon and Cage after losing his opportunity in this tournament. And Pentagon going to break Mill's arm, which I never really thought about the fact they never officially had a match, because Pentagon broke Mill's arm once before, right? Or am I losing?
No, that has definitely happened.
You saw that little bit of fear, just that little bit of fear on Mill's face when he thought his arm may get broken. He just powered out of it. Thank God. But anyone who can put even a tiny bit of fear in Mill, that's a scary best.
Yeah. I, you know what? I didn't even think about the grander implications. I was so locked into what was going on in the ring here between these two guys. But yeah, Pentagon Dark breaking Mil Muertes' arm could have been the end of civilization as we know it.
You're right. I mean, he's the only one who could protect us from these gods coming.
Yeah. And Pentagon Dark doesn't know any better. And frankly, I don't know that he cares. Like, Pentagon Dark might just be twisted enough to not give a shit that the world's about to burn.
It wouldn't matter. As long as he could take down a couple of bastards with him on his way, I really don't think he'd give a fuck.
He wouldn't have any more arms to break, though. Like, I think maybe if nothing else, that might sadden him a bit.
Breaking arms in the afterlife. That's all it is. He'll be breaking arms in hell.
It's true. There's a never-ending sea of arms for him to break down there. He might prefer it, honestly. So, yeah, thankfully, Penta didn't get his way here. Mil Muertes escapes with two fully functioning arms. I'm sure those ribs are still a little banged up, but I'd imagine the man of a thousand deaths probably heals a bit faster than us normal folk. So hopefully he's ready next week, because or not even next week, but at some point in the near future, because I'm sure him and Cage are not through, and we'll be seeing them in the ring at some point in the near future.
Yeah, we will, definitely.
So, we close the night with a rather interesting moment here. This isn't something that happens very often in the temple. Usually the night's events end with a match of some sort, but Dario Cueto calls out Rey Mysterio and Johnny Mundo to the ring to, quote, talk shit, which was, I just thought, a very, very casual way of putting it, and I appreciated it. I like Dario's candor. That's part of what, you know, part of his charm. But Johnny Mundo comes out and he basically questions whether or not Rey Mysterio's son is even his, being that he's much larger than Rey. And Rey attacks, and Johnny has just the worst security ever, which is unfortunate, because before we ventured off to the temple, I happened to talk to our friend Wrestling Redneck. And he was saying something to me about Johnny Mundo contacting him for a reference for a security team. I sincerely hope that this is not the crew that Redneck suggested, because they were just utterly useless. What did you think about the security team, and could we have done better?
Absolutely, we could have done better. In this security, like, I need to see their licenses. I don't believe that any one of these guys are actually security guards. I believe that Rastin Redneck, he ran a scheme on Johnny Mundo that would probably explain why he didn't want to come to the temple this week. But, ooh, you know, keep getting those checks, Redneck. Keep getting those checks. You did what you had to do. But, yeah, I believe that the fix was in. Redneck knew what he was doing.
All right. Well, hey, if Redneck is doing this in the name of Mysterio and all that is good in the world, I guess I can't blame him. But I guess there goes our chances of ever getting into the Worldwide Underground. So thanks a lot, Redneck. anyway, the Worldwide Underground, speaking of which, they come out because security, again, is useless. So the Worldwide Underground attacks Rey Mysterio. We have a 5-person beatdown, and they ultimately kind of just, I don't know any other way to describe it, but it looked like a curb stomp sort of in the middle of a ring, all of them holding on to raise appendages as Mundo drives his face into the mat. The sexy star, El Dragon Azteca Jr., and the Mac all come out to help. Sexy Star living up to her name, and Johnny and Rey are in the ring ultimately as people are just everywhere. Johnny gets the upper hand, and then Prince Puma comes running out to stop Johnny Mundo. Let's take a quick pause here. What did you make of all this madness between Mundo and Mysterio and Puma getting himself involved?
I mean, it was just complete anarchy. And I know Dario was probably just loving it, like smiling ear to ear during this whole thing. And many of us believers in the temple were as well. As much chaos as it was, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. You know, when you take the chance of coming to the temple, which, as we say every week, you're taking a chance with your life, you love to see something like this. Like, it was complete anarchy out there. Prince Puma getting involved for whatever reason he decided to get involved. It just, everybody who was anybody came out and got involved in this match, and it made you realize just how big of a deal and the implications that are going to happen in the next coming weeks, and especially built around whoever wins the title between Mundo and Rey.
Yeah, and also the finals of the Cueto Cup, both happening next week. The other half of that match, Pentagon Dark comes out. They have a four-way face down of sorts between Rey, Mundo, Puma, and Pentagon. Puma, for some reason, despite coming out to seemingly help Rey Mysterio just moments before, ends up punching Rey Mysterio in the face. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but maybe at this point in the chaos, just adrenaline took over and you're just hitting anybody that moves. I can't say I blame him. Mil Muertes comes out, kind of clears the ring, and then Brian Cage emerges from the back, power bombs Johnny Mundo, who's pretty much the last bystander left alone. We get a stare down and a throwdown between Mil Muertes and Brian Cage. Marty the Moth emerges out of the back. Phoenix attacks him. Mariposa attacks him. The Rabbit Tribe are eating carrots, sitting up on the top of a platform. Joey Ryan and Vincenzo Massaro, for no reason whatsoever, just appear beating each other up. And Jeremiah Crane comes out. In this case, he actually is pretty much hitting anything that moves. And while all this is going on, Dante Fox is watching from up high, and he's attacked by Killshot. Just everybody. Everybody who's ever had any beef with anybody was punching that motherfucker in the face for this 5 minutes. Chaos, CEO. Anything particular about this you liked?
I liked it all. I mean, if you have beef with somebody and there's just complete all-out brawl, this is your opportunity to get a couple licks in, and then they may not even know who's the one that hit them. So everyone did what they should have done when you're fighting for your life in the Lucha Underground. Like this, what happens here? Seriously, there's lives at stake here. There's gods getting involved here. So I can understand tensions being high, much less everyone's gunning for this title. And that's one of the things that's great about coming to the temple, is that everyone here is a contender, rightfully so, not because of favoritism or anything like that that happens some other places. Everyone legitimately has a shot, and that right there would breed so much just competition between everybody that I'm surprised we don't get much more stuff like this, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and in this temple, there's just so much stuff going on at any given moment in time. Like the four-way stare down that we had here between the two potential opponents, or the two opponents for the Cueto Cup Finals and the two opponents for the championship. And then you have Brian Cage and Mil Muertes, who are both just monsters in and of their own right. And they kind of feel like, while they could very much be in that picture, they just happen to be doing other shit right now. And it's not any less important than anything else that's going on. It's just, it's epic in its own way, and it's just separate from... there's just so much cool shit going on in the temple. We also have the build to the Gift of the Gods title match, and we only have three of those medallions that are out there. So there's all sorts of stuff that's going on right now, and all of it feels big, and all of it feels important, and very little of it is boring in any respect.
Yeah, it's never a dull day here at the temple. Like, it's never. Like, there's always something, even if you get the occasional match that, you know, isn't quite up to par expectations. It's never a dull day here. I mean, I tried to go to the John twice today. Well, once was me trying to sneak into Dario's office, and I just saw some crazy shit. It's never dull here.
Yeah, you can't even during bathroom breaks, there's always something that seems to happen that's crazy. Prince Puma also hit a 630 senton from the top rope to the floor onto a pile of people, which was just crazy. And it was at this moment in time that I looked over, and in all the madness, I happened to see Dario Cueto standing outside the doors of his office, and I'm pretty sure I saw him with at least one hand down the front of his pants, and I felt a little uncomfortable. Did you happen to notice that Dario may or may not have been jerking it to all of this?
I did not, but you know what? That doesn't surprise me not one bit. Yeah. This is his type of thing. This is what would get Dario off.
Yeah. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I didn't watch for long enough to determine whether or not it ended up finishing the job. But Rey Mysterio finished the job, at least with Johnny Mundo for the night here. He hits a 619 and holds the belt high. And this was all with just bodies strewn all over the place. And this is how the night ends. The house lights go on and we all head home. What a night. Like, what a night in the temple. you're back after a few weeks. Do you feel like, you know, just things are just building and building to something even bigger and better next week?
Absolutely. That's the thing. It's always going to lead to something bigger and better. I mean, we're getting Johnny Mundo versus Rey Mysterio next week, the finals to the Cueto Cup. And this is all leading up. And we still got Ultimo Lucha to just get ready for. It's coming at some point whenever Dario decides to announce it. Like, this is amazing. This is just amazing times. To be here. As far as something bigger, as much as I'm looking forward to Mundo and Rey, I think this Puma and Pentagon match is just gonna, it may shake the temple to its core. Like, seriously, the fans love both of these guys so much, the believers in this temple, and everyone's gonna be torn. You may as well be able to cut the tension with somebody next to you It's amazing what's going to happen here next week. It's going to be crazy. The environment alone is just going to be worth the price of admission.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just that big title match has been something that we've been hearing about for such a long time. The ultimate implications, and I mean, the two matches will be great, but then ultimately finding out which two we're going to see facing off at Ultima Lucha 3. It's, I mean, yeah, no, there's no bad combinations. Like, I can't even think of a worst case scenario for what might happen with that, with those two matches, as far as what the main event of Ultima Lucha 3 is going to be. You know, there's so much going on in the temple, and this was just another example of just a crazy, crazy week. I don't have a whole lot else to add here, man. There was just some heavy shit last week, and this was a little bit more straightforward, which was great, but at the same time, I felt like it was sort of overload all over again.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We saw an attempted murder of a woman, we saw a murder, a resurrection, and an all-out brawl. And that's not even mentioning the matches that we got. Yeah. So, yeah.
And there was some snitching going on in the middle of all that, too. Fucking Joey Ryan, who'd have thought?
Exactly.
But, yeah. All right, man. Well, this has been a crazy week here. We're looking forward to the finals next week and to the big championship match next week. Do we have anything else that we need to say before we get out of here besides the fact that we put our lives on the line and we did it all for the love of Lucha?
That's what we do it all for, is the love of Lucha. I have nothing else to say but just that. We do it for the love of Lucha.
Excellent. Well, in the event of an impending apocalypse, let's try to get those Twitter accounts, those Twitter followers up. Where can the people find you?
The people can find me at CEO Haize. That's at CEOHAIZE on all social media platforms.
Very nice. And they can find me, for whatever reason they may want to follow, at WWP and Bello. And they can follow us here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network at the WWPN, as well as the WWPN.com and YouTube.com/the WWPN. Continuity, folks.
Finally, it only took us a year to get there.
Yeah, finally. Anyway, let's say goodnight to the people. Let's get off this highway. Let's get the hell out of Kayfabe County.
Good night, people.
Peace.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a